We're on this series called Work, Your Expression of Your Salvation. Work, the expression of your salvation. We've been talking about, we looked at how God did a lot of really good work, didn't he? In fact, when he finished the days of creation, he stepped back, he looked, he says, "Behold, that is very good," right? And so we talked about God's work, and this morning I want to talk about how the works of Jesus matter. Last week we talked about how God's work matters, but also, how many know that as we're talking about God's work matters, we're showing you that your work matters. So that's what this series is really about. It's about work, the work you do, and it's also, in the next couple of weeks or so, we're going to get into your works, right? People want to say, "Oh, no, I'm not saved by works." No, you are not. You cannot be saved by works. Healing is not earned by your works. Salvation is not earned by your works. But there is a work for us to do, isn't there? You know, the Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith, through believing in the grace of God, not of works, lest anyone would be able to say of themselves, "Look at this salvation that I have earned." Salvation with God cannot be earned, right? It can only be given, and it was given to us by the grace of Jesus Christ because of what he has done on the cross. Nothing more, nothing less, right? But because of that, right, there is a work for us to do, isn't there? How many know that you can have the anointing upon your life to do your job? Right? You can have the anointing upon your life to do your job. So I want to look at Jesus today. And I'm going to look at a part of Jesus' life today. That I want us to look at this part of Jesus' life that you don't hear preached about too much. Right? When you hear preaching about Jesus, you hear about the miracles that he did, right? You hear about when he healed the lame, healed the blind, healed the lepers, and all these amazing things that he did. And those are, I'm not taking anything away from that. All that is awesome. But there is another part of Jesus' life that I want us to look at this morning that happened before he started doing all those things. See, the Bible says when he turned age 30 that he went down to the River Jordan and John baptized him, though he did it reluctantly, you know, because he didn't feel like he was worthy to baptize Jesus. But he baptized Jesus, and the Bible says when Jesus came up out of the water that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And then he you begin to read about how Jesus, of course, he was led into the wilderness for 40 days, you know, and all that. But then he came out in the power of the Spirit, and he began to do all these miracles. And you read about the wedding at Cana, which was his first miracle, where he turned the water into wine. And then the story really begins to pick up steam, doesn't it? And you begin to hear about him healing lepers and doing all these amazing things that we love to preach about when we're preaching on faith, right? But there's a part of Jesus' life that I think is going to really help us this morning. I want to talk about the years of his life between age 12 and the age 30. See, this is the part you don't really hear too much about, right? But the Bible has something to say about it, right? So let's look at this in John chapter 14 and verse 10. John 14, verse 10. Now this is the verse, this is actually the verse I believe we ended up with last week. In John chapter 14 and verse 10, Jesus says, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The works that I do, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me." Right? So, in other words, Jesus is saying, it's not me, it's really the Father in me that he's doing the work. Right? So, God wanted to work through Jesus, and God did do his work through Jesus. Right? And can I encourage you that God wants to do his work through you? He wants to do his work through you. You say, "But I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a church leader." That has nothing to do with it. God wants to work with you in the marketplace. He wants to work with you on the construction site. He wants to work with you in your shop. He wants to work with you in the store, at the gas station, wherever you are, whatever you're in the doctor's office, whatever your occupation is. God wants to put his anointing on you to be the best you that you can be in him in your occupation. He wants to infuse you with strength. He wants to infuse you with his power to be anointed. He wants you to have supernatural occupation. In other words, he wants to put his super on your natural to make you supernatural at using that nail gun. Now that would be awesome. right? Glory to God. So he wants you to be supernatural. He's called you to be supernatural. Not that you've got to get out there and be weird and not, it's not all spooky and it's all, it's just you being the you that God created you to be, right? How many know God doesn't call everybody into what we call the fivefold ministry gifts? Now, that's what I'm called to do. And I'm living my dream, and it's awesome, and I love doing what I do, even on the challenging days. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Okay, maybe a trip to Maui. No, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I love doing what I do. Why? Because I've stepped into what God has placed me on this earth to do. But not everybody's called to do this. And most of you in here would look at me and go, and I don't want nothing. I've had some of you already tell me, I don't even want to do what you do, right? But God has called you into your business, into your construction company, into your plumbing company, into your whatever it is you do, into your gas station, into your office space. Whatever God's got you doing, he wants to put his anointing on you to do that. Now let's look at the life of Jesus here. So he says here that Jesus says, it's the Father in me. He's doing the work. And I love this. Over in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, one of my very favorite scriptures. I've got a lot of them, but this is one of my favorites here. It says this, and you know that God anointed, Acts 10, 38, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Right? Isn't it interesting? He mentions that first. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then he says this. So he puts his super on Jesus' natural. Then, everybody say then. See, now there's a word that we just read it and we don't even think anything about it. But think about what that word means. Then means there was something that happened before that affected what happened after. And he says here, and we know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then, which means he didn't do this until then, right? Then Jesus went around. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How many want God with you on your work site? How many want God with you in your home? Whatever it is that God's called you to do, whatever he has placed in you, the giftings, the ability he's put in you, he wants to anoint that so that you're not just trying to push through in your own natural abilities. I thank God, and you thank God, that I'm not up here in my own natural abilities. I wouldn't even want to be up here in my own natural abilities. There's been times I felt like I was. But I can tell you how I know that it was the grace of God and that I was anointed to be up here even when I didn't feel like I was anointed. It seems like when I feel that way, I get more people come up to me after service and throughout the week telling me, man, Pastor Ken, that was a great word today. And in my mind, I'm going, really? Right? But I thank God that I don't have to do even what I do in my own natural ability, and God don't want you. And Jesus didn't do what he did in his own natural ability. Remember he says, it's the Father in me. He does the work. He's anointed me to do this. All right? So I want us to look at the works of Jesus as a carpenter. Remember, Jesus was a carpenter before he was the Jesus that we all preach about. Before he was the minister, he was also a carpenter. Remember, at the age of 12, you know, they went into Jerusalem for this festival, and they came back, and then Jesus wasn't even there, and they go back to find Jesus, and there he is listening to the leaders in the synagogue, and he says, "Yo, Jesus, what are you doing? Why aren't you with the family?" And he says, "Mom, Dad, listen, I've got to be about my Father's business." Right? So Jesus already knew at the age of 12 that he was called to be a spiritual leader. But isn't it interesting that even Jesus didn't step into that ministry at the age of 12, 15, 20, 25, 29. He didn't step into that ministry until age 30. So we've got 18 years of Jesus doing something, and he wasn't going around just kicking rocks with everybody else. Right? Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3, it says this. This is talking about when Jesus was rejected. Remember, he went back while he was in ministry. He went back into his hometown, Nazareth, where he's from. And this was their loving, welcoming response. The Bible says that he came in and he was teaching. And the people asked, where did he get all this wisdom? Verse 3, he says, then they scoffed. He's just a what? He's just a carpenter. Huh? Six? Matthew? Or Mark 6? Ah, there we go. That looks better. All right. Oh, did I say Matthew? I apologize. Trust the paper, not what I say right now. Okay. In reference to that. Okay. All right. So Mark 6 and verse 3, he says, then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph, and it goes on and on and on. But I just want you to see where he says they scoffed at him that he was just a carpenter. Right? So this right here, what this tells us is that he had a reputation of being a carpenter. Even though they were scoffing at him because he was now stepping, he was functioning as this minister. He was functioning as an anointed man of God, as a savior of the world, and going on about ministry. But there was something about his life that these people in his hometown that he lived with and lived around, and they seen him on a regular basis. There was something about him that they didn't recognize him as the minister. They recognized him as a carpenter. Remember, they said, who does he think he is? Where's he getting all this wisdom? He's just a carpenter. Okay, now don't take that carpenters can't be wise people. All right, because they can't. But I want you to see that they there was something that they recognized him about his carpentry, about his skilled labor that he was taught to do. Now over in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 33. Now this is the same. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. This is the same encounter, but from two different authors, so you're going to get two different perspectives. See, Mark heard, you're just a carpenter. But Matthew heard this. Let's flip over there. So Matthew chapter 15 and verse 33. What did I say? 13. 54. Where am I going here? Matthew chapter 13. And verse 55, okay, let me catch up to myself here. All right, so here we go, verse 55. It says, then they scoffed him and said, he's just the carpenter's son. So what does that tell us? See, the custom back then that the fathers would take their children and teach them their trade. So that's how he became a carpenter. It's because Joseph took him and taught, and now you got to remember, Jesus was the oldest of the family of the children. So he takes Jesus and he's teaching him. That was the custom of the day, was to be taught by your father. So Joseph takes Jesus and teaches him this trade called carpenter. And so Jesus became a carpenter, and he became known as a carpenter. Why am I telling you this? Because sometimes I think we think of Jesus in these super spiritual terms, and we forget that he lived a very natural life. But he did not live a life in and of himself. He lived, and everything he did with the anointing of God upon him. Everything he did it for the glory of God. So when I began to think about this, I began to think about the houses that he perhaps built. And I think about the furniture that he made and the different things that he may have built with his hands. And I began to think of what the craftsmanship must have been like. I don't think Jesus just threw this together, looked around to see if his dad was looking. That'll be good enough. I don't think Jesus did that. I think that he wasn't as focused on what Joseph thought as he was on what God thought about his work. Right? It reminds me of the story, I hope that I don't butcher this too bad, but you'll get the gist of it. But I remember hearing a story years ago about this guy, this carpenter, and he had this business. And so he hired this carpenter to build a house for him. And so he gives him the plans, and I mean, the carpenter did everything. And so the carpenter, you know, during the process of building this house, he began to think, okay, this is now, I can get a little bit more money out of this if I cut some corners, use some, you know, maybe not as good a material as he wants me to use because that's more expensive, but he'll think I use that, so then I can get a little bit more money out of it. So he began to cut corners and use subpar materials and all this kind of thing. And then so he finally got the house all built, and the owner of the company called him in and says, hey, so you got the project all done? He goes, yep, got it all done, and here's all the everything. Here's the keys to it. Here's everything you know. And the owner of the company says excellent, because I think the people that it's going to end up with this house is going to really enjoy this place. He goes, well, I'm sure they will. I mean, here you go. And then he looked at the guy and says, here's the keys. I had you build this house for you. So now this guy is living in a house that's built subpar because he was trying to cut corners. See, when I think about Jesus, I believe Jesus put excellency into. Let me help you understand. I'll get to this even later. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But we're not talking about perfection. We're not talking about flawless. Most people can't do stuff flawlessly. But excellence is not perfection and flawlessness. Excellence is doing the best you can with what you've got to work with. See, that's what we strive around here to do, is do the best we can with what we've got to work with, right? It may not be the best. We may not have the best of the best to work with, but we can do the best we can with what we do have to work with. And that's the spirit of excellence, isn't it? Right? So let me share this with you. William Barclay, he was a theologian, and he wrote a book called The Book of Luke, and it was basically a study on the Book of Luke, a Bible study. This right here is going to speak on why Jesus may not have begun his teaching until age 30. Listen to this. He says, why did he spend 30 years in Nazareth when he had come to be the Savior of the world? So I want to stop right there, because I think a lot of us, we think of the dream job. We think of the ministry we want to be in. We think of the big thing we want to get. And just put me there. Isn't it interesting that even Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, did not step into that ministry until years later? I believe he knew at age 12 what he was called to do. I believe he knew that. But listen to this. This is powerful. Why did he spend 30 years in Nazareth when he had come to be the Savior of the world? It is commonly said that Joseph died, his father, not his father, but I mean Joseph, his earthly father, stepfather, whatever you want to call it. Right? It says, it is commonly said that Joseph died fairly young, and that Jesus had to take upon himself the support of Mary and his younger brothers and sisters, and that not until they were old enough to take the business on their own shoulders did he feel free to leave Nazareth and go into the wider world. Interesting thought. But whether that's true or not, what we do know from the Bible is it shows us that Jesus had a skill to be a carpenter. And I believe that everything he built, he poured everything he had into it, did it to the very best that he could. That I believe that everything that Jesus built was something that when he stepped back, he could say, oh, Lord, Father, what do you think? That's very, very good, right? And I think everything he did, it brought honor to God. And so that's really what we're saying today, isn't it? Is what we do, is the work that we do, we're seeing that the work that Jesus did brought honor to God. And we're going to see that more as we go. But we see that what Jesus did brought honor to God. So that really challenges me. Okay, Ken, is what you doing? What you do every day, are you doing it in a way that brings honor to God? Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Right, and it didn't matter. Right? Rather he's praying for the sick or building a house. I believe Jesus did everything he did the best way he knew how. And I think he did everything he did to bring honor to God. All of it was completed with excellence and that brought honor to the Father. So what am I saying? Here's the thing. Too often people get, and this is me as well. Too often, if we're not careful, we get impatient with where we want to be. Maybe you've got a vision or you can kind of see where you want your life to be, right? You can kind of see what you want to be doing. You kind of see that dream job. I mean, you just sit in the daytime and you just think of and daydream about that dream job. If I could just get into that dream job, if I could just get into that ministry, if I could just get to this, if I could just get to that, and all the while you're not even enjoying the life that you have right before you because you're so caught up in, If I can just. Oh, man, I'm tired of waiting on my dream job. So I'm going to start cutting corners, and I'm going to start stepping on people, and I'm going to start doing it the world's way, and I'm going to get to that place no matter what it takes. We start getting it. We're allowing the world to get into our thinking. But I don't believe Jesus ever did any of that. Amen. I don't believe he ever did it. No matter. It doesn't matter if it's a dream job, if it's your calling, whatever it is. You know, the Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 in the New King James, it says this. Excuse me, did I say that? Yeah. I didn't put it up there. I didn't even put that in my notes. Galatians chapter 6 and New King James. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, and let us not grow. It's an interesting word, isn't it? The word grow. Because when something grows, it's not instant. So what happens is we start out passionately for God. We start out awesome and start this new job, and we just want to help the company, and we want to put our best foot forward, and we want to do our best work, and then because the boss doesn't promote us as fast as we think he should, or he don't give us accolades for the work that we've done, like the way he don't give us the credit we think we should get, or even if you should have that credit, and he don't give it. Then we start allowing bitterness to come in, and well, they just don't understand it. I'm the one that did it. They don't understand the work that I put into it. They don't understand the effort that I put into it. And then we start growing weary. We start growing weary. Has that happened to anybody else besides myself? You're like, oh man, I am so tired of doing the same thing every day and not getting credit for it. I'm so tired of, when is my promotion going to come? Right? But it says here, he says, put it back. Thank you. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In due season we will reap. That's a promise. Come on. Don't grow weary in doing good. See, really, honestly, you shouldn't be doing your job for your boss, should we? Come on, guys. Please know I'm with you because, man, I worked in a trailer factory for 13 years, and I went through all these emotions. I went through all of this stuff that I'm talking about, man. I mean, and sometimes I handled it good, and sometimes I did not handle it good. What I noticed is every time I didn't handle it well, that became a setback. I'd cop another attitude, and it would set me back. But then I finally allowed God to get through to me, and I started committing to being the best worker I could be, even if it seemed like I wasn't even being noticed. I began to take on this attitude and transform my thinking from, okay, are they looking? This is one of the phrases that I always hated when I was working in that place. And here comes the big guys. They're coming through. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Here comes the big boss. Let's act like you're working. Act like you're doing a good job. I remember I finally, after getting my attitude adjusted, and I began to work hard for the Lord and not just for people. And then all of a sudden, the bosses started noticing my work. And then they'd come up and ask me about the work. And I began to just talk to them. And all of a sudden, now they're interested in me being a department leader. And so then they ended up making me a department leader. And then so we'd have those big bosses come through. And here's my whole crew. We need to start working really hard because here come the big bosses. I looked at them. I said, you guys should be working hard already. Right? Why do people say things like that? Because they're working for men, not for God. Because when you're working for God, you ain't got to worry about him coming down the line. He was there before you showed up on the job. Right? So I began to really try to develop this mentality. And hey, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I got it perfectly after that. And, you know, I'd allow things to come in and I had to reset and renavigate myself. You know how sometimes your phone or something gets, it needs to be recalibrated, you know? I had many recalibration meetings with the Lord. That I would have to go, okay, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. I know I started kind of sloughing off. I know I started trying to, you know, cut corners. Lord, help me not to do that. God, I just want to be the vessel you want me to be. Help me to work for you. Help me to know that you're always right there with me. And this is the cool thing. Because God's always right there with me, he can help me to do a better job. Right? And when I changed my mindset and I lost that, I got rid of that negative mindset and that world way of thinking mindset. And I began to think, okay, I'm doing this for God, man. I'm doing this for God. You know, and then I started pouring myself in and raising up the quality of my work because I wanted God to be pleased. Right? Hallelujah. Look at this verse in the Passion Translation. It says this. Is it up there? The Passion, it will be. The Passion Translation. It says, and don't allow yourselves. Don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened. Don't allow yourselves. That tells me that it's not in their control. It's not in God's control. Oh, God's in control. Whatever. That's a whole different series. All right? It's not in their control. It's not in God's control. It's not even in the devil's control. Don't allow yourselves means it's in your control. You can choose to have that good attitude. You can choose to put out that extra effort. You can choose to put out better quality work, right? So you can choose to do your job in a way that at the end of the day, you can go home and you don't even have to think about it because you know that you did something that is honorable to God. That God's, hey, listen, please remember, I didn't say perfection. I didn't say you did it the best. Maybe you didn't do it the best of anybody in the company. But you did it the best that you could do. That's all God's asking from you. That's all God's asking. Do the best that you can, and he will enhance that. He will help you to learn through it. He will help you to grow through it, that your work can become even better if it needs to be. Or maybe your best is the best that it needs to be. But come on. What if we just change our mindset to quit looking at what man thinks, and what about what God thinks about my work? Amen. Hallelujah. It says, and don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Do you realize that the work you do is sowing seed? Boy, I tell you what, when that one hit me, when I'm doing shoddy work and that thought hit me that I'm sowing seeds and that's the kind of harvest I'm going to get back. I'm like, every trailer that comes through my department, it's going to be the best that I can make it because I'm sowing seeds. Because when I go to get something, I want to make sure that God has made sure that I'm getting the best one because I put my best into mine. When you realize that that's the seeds you're sowing, oh man, when that revelation hit me, I'm like, no, I'm getting better at this. I'm going to do a better job. Amen. Listen to this. It says, verse 10, I love this. Take advantage of every opportunity. Listen to this. To be a blessing to others. See, when we're on our jobs and we're doing our thing, right, God wants us to be a blessing to others. It does several things. One thing it does is it produces a good product for the company that's paying you to do a good job. Another thing it does, it's you're sowing good seeds, and God's going to make you bring that good harvest back to you because you're sowing good quality work, right? Another thing it does is you're being a blessing not only to the company, but you're being a blessing to the people that buy that particular product that you built or that thing that you did or whatever. I come from, you know, Fleetwood Travel Trailers is where I used to work in Pendleton, Oregon. And so I've spent 13 years there. So a lot of construction analogies come out of me. But this applies rather you work in a business office. No matter what you're doing, do the best that you can. Because someone is on the other side of your obedience. And sometimes that somebody is you. Sometimes that person is you. Amen. So what am I saying? Don't start fading while you're waiting. Fading, you know, F-A-D-I-N-G. Don't start fading with your work. Don't grow weary in doing well. Know that, man, I'm going to keep on doing my best. I'm going to keep on being my best. God, I thank you that you're helping me to be my best. Get up in the morning, you're on your way to it. Father, I thank you as I step into this company today, as I step into the office today, as I step into this grocery store today, as I step up to this gas pump today, whatever it is I'm doing, Lord, help me to be my best. Now, we're not only talking about being your best with what you do, but we're talking about being your best with your attitude. So it's not only what you do, but the attitude that you put into it. Amen. One of our instructors said this when we were at Rhymer Bible College. Said this. He says, preparation time is never wasted time. Preparation time is never wasted time. You know, they're encouraging us that, come on, as you're studying, as you pursue the call that God's put on your life, as you pursue your dream, just understand that preparation time is never wasted time. The years you spend in school honing in on your craft, it's never wasted time. Preparation time is never wasted time. Don't grow weary in the preparation time, because God's got great rewards for you when you come out of that. Amen. J. Oswald Sanders said this. He says, it is a challenging thought and one that should be closely observed by those who are preparing for a life of service to God. Now, I'm going to stop right there, because I want you to understand, when he's talking about service to God, we're not talking about just ministry stuff like I do. We're talking about your work should be service to God. Raising your children should be service to God. Having a good, strong marriage relationship should be service to God. Everything I do, I want to do it to the glory of God. I want God to look at it and go, yeah, I like that. Oh, you dude, I like the way you treated my daughter right there. I like the way you treated your wife. I like the way you're treating your children. I like the way you take responsibility. I like the way you're doing this right. I like the attitude that you're doing it in. I want my life to be a life that honors God from start to finish. So he goes on to say, he says, it's a challenging thought, one that should be closely observed by those who are preparing for life, for a life of service to God, that our divine Lord spent six times as long working at the carpenter's bench as he did in his world-shaking ministry. Jesus spent six times as much time working as a carpenter as he did in ministry. Think about that. 18 years honing his gift as a carpenter, becoming known as a carpenter. 3 in full-time ministry. 3 years. Gave his life for us at the age of 33. Didn't even start doing ministry. The miracles and things we read about until he was age 30. 3 years in ministry, 18 years as a carpenter. But I don't believe Jesus ever complained one time about what he was doing. I think he found honor in everything that he did. So he says here, so he did not shrink from the hidden years of preparation. Preparatory years are important years. Jesus must be about his Father's business and doing his Father's will. If that will involved 18 hidden, laborious, tedious years, he would not succumb to fleshly impatience, but would obey with delight. When I read that, that reminds me of the 13 years that I spent at Fleetwood Travel Trailers. I started that job, and I when I got on the job, hey, what's up? I said, oh, man, I'm only here for 6 months. Man, I was only taking that job for some quick, good cash to get me out of, get kind of set up a little bit financially. And I didn't want the job for more than 6 months. 6 months rolled around. 8 months rolled around. I'm going to be gone at the one-year mark. 1 year rolled around. Everybody's like, hey, I thought you were going to be gone. Well, I tell you what. I may not have been, but I ain't going to be here after 2 years. I'm out of here before by 2 years. Same story, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 year mark. They say, hey, man, I thought you were going to be gone after 6 months. This tells you the growth that finally the Lord had time to deal with me. Finally, this was my response. You know what? When God's ready for me to get out of here, I'll be gone. I said, but until, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to do my very best. Right? I began to understand that preparation time is never wasted time. The 13 years, that, man, that seems like a lot to me. But 13 years, because I left home and went to Bible school knowing I was called into full-time ministry. I knew it. There was never since that moment God called me have I ever questioned, am I called to full-time ministry? I hear ministers say, well, man, sometimes I just question my calling. Well, I don't question my calling. I may question, am I doing my best in my calling? But I never questioned, am I called? For 13 years, I worked in a company. And then I moved out here and worked another 2 or 3 years before I actually started the church. 2 years. Right? So, but for 13 years, I was in a company. And there was days I just it didn't make sense. God, why? I would get angry at it. God, why am I still here? You didn't send me to Bible college to build campers and trailers. You sent me to change the world. God, what am I doing here? But then I'd get quiet and I'd just allow the Lord to speak. And he would tell me, he says, Ken, this is what nobody wants to hear. You're not ready. You're not ready. What do you mean I'm not ready? I went through 2 years of Bible school and I've been helping in the church and I've been helping preach. And what do you mean I'm not ready? He goes, think about your attitude right now. I don't want to think about my attitude right now. Right? Preparation time is never wasted time. Now I look back. Everything that I went through in that company trained, shaped, and molded me to do this. If I had not had those 13 years, I would not. I probably wouldn't even be a pastor. And if someone had dared to take a risk as me being their pastor, it probably wouldn't have lasted very long. Because I had a short fuse and a quick temper, and you would have challenged me on something, and I'd have put you in your place, and then would nobody want to be here. The Lord taught me how to walk in love in that company. In strong, aggravating circumstances. How many know that pure gold is heated up? Then they scrape off the dross off the top. And I'm sure that gold's like, okay, that's gone. And then all of a sudden, they heat it up again. I felt like in those years that God kept heating it up. Heating and scraping. Heating, scraping. Oh, God, why do you have to scrape that off? Because that's not going to serve you where I'm taking you. Right? So God has to heat up and scrape off. Let me just say this. In John 14, where we start in verse 10, where Jesus says, it's the Father in me, he does the work. Jesus saw no disconnect between his work and his relationship with God. See, your spiritual life is not Sunday only, and then you've got a work life on Monday. No, it's Jesus saw no disconnect between the work that he did and his relationship with God. In fact, you need your relationship in your work to be the most effective. Amen. Hallelujah. What if we were to trust God the way Jesus did? We would no longer be self-reliant, self-dependent, but we would be trusting God to infuse us with his energy, with his strength, with his wisdom, and we would be the very best that we could be. Amen. Tony Cook, one of our instructors at Bible College, he said this, for our works to be all they were meant to be, we must fully receive God's work for us, fully yield to God's work in us, and fully express God's work through us. I'm going to say that one more time. For our works to be all that they were meant to be, we must fully receive God's work for us, fully yield to God's work in us. How many know God's wanting to do a work in you, right? So fully receive God's work for us, what he did on the cross, fully yield to God's work in us, allow him to make those internal adjustments that need to be made, and fully express God's work through us. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Jesus saw carrying out his assignment as a way to glorify God. Okay, one more verse and then I'll wrap this up. And then I got a challenge for you and then we're going to go eat some chili. All right? John chapter 17 and verse 4. In John 17 and verse 4, it says this. Jesus says, I brought glory to you. Talking to the Father in one of his final prayers there. He says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. The Message translation says this. It says, I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. Right? Quit looking at your job as just a job and start looking at it as your assignment. Because God's got you there. He planted you there. And he's looking for you to shine in that moment. Amen. Glory to God. All right. So here's your challenge. Here's the challenge for this week. All right. No more scriptures. Right. Here's the challenge. Challenge yourself to be your best this week. Right. Challenge yourself to do your best work with excellence this week. Come on. You know what? You may not even get it perfect. You may not even do it very good in the very beginning. Because it's a mind renewal thing. You got to get your mind renewed and adjusted to these things. But come on, challenge yourself this week. When you go to work this afternoon or tonight or tomorrow, whenever it is you go to work, challenge yourself to be your best. Be your best. Have your best attitude. Come on, be your best. How many know you need Jesus to help you to have a good attitude? Especially if you're working for some difficult situations and people, right? Come on. People say, well, Jesus is just a crutch. And I am going to lean on him. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. Come on, challenge yourself to be your best this week, right? Ask yourself this, and I'll close with this. Ask yourself, would my work today, the job that I do, and the attitude I do it with, would it bring honor and glory to God? Come on, guys, let's just strive to be our best. If you falter, guess what? Big deal. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off. That's what we teach our children to do, right? Come on, buddy. Come on, you can take that step. They go to take the step and they crumble. Do we go, you moron, why are you not walking? It's been 6 months since you came out of the womb. Come on, for crying out loud, this is embarrassing. People are watching me. People are going to challenge my parenting skills. Right? You're not going to do that. Oh, man, that was awesome try. Come on, buddy. Get back up. Come on, sweetheart. You can do it. Come on. I'll even hold you. I'll help you take those next steps. And then we keep helping. That's what the Lord does. He comes on. He infuses us with strength. And come on, you can do this. Come on. I know that you maybe didn't have the best attitude today, but you know what? You can have a better attitude tomorrow. I know you may not have, cut a couple of corners today, but you know what? You cannot cut those corners tomorrow. Come on, I know you might have done this, you might have said that, it didn't really come out like you was wanting it to, and you're a little meaner than you meant to be, but you know what? You can do better tomorrow. Come on, we might as well, we can either laugh or cry, because everyone in this room knows that everything I'm saying is true. We've all been there, we've all faced it. Come on, let's just challenge ourselves this week. I'm going to be a better me. I'm going to be the me God wants me to be. I'm going to walk in love this week. I'm going to challenge myself to do better. I'm going to challenge myself to be better. I'm going to challenge myself to be stronger. I can do this. We can do this together. Amen. Amen. Did you guys get anything out of this today? Yeah. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. God is so good.